that note, we will have a word of prayer and then we'll begin.
Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day and for life and health and strength. Lord, for each soul that's here. Lord, for the households that are represented here. And Lord, you know the needs in our individual homes and their families. And I pray, Lord, for the saving of souls, please. Pray you too, Lord, for those that aren't with us this morning, for Christy and Taylor, for Pat and Steve, for Esther, for Leonard. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with them and minister to them as well. For all those, Lord, that even now are maybe just struggling out of bed in our country and wondering, Lord, please speak to them. Speak to them about their eternal souls. For our brothers and sister churches, Lord, across the land, across the world, I pray that you would bless the teaching and preaching and the reading of your word, Lord. Please, I pray this morning. Lord, please be with us now. Please bless us. Please edify us. Please comfort us. Lord, if there's any among us that needs a bit of straightening out, please straighten us out. Lord, just supply our daily bread, our needs. And Lord, we love you and praise you. And not forgetting Frank either, Lord, please watch out for him too. And we ask all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We'll start with number 11 in the wee black books. Number 11 is mortal, invisible, God only wise. Praise him, praise him this morning. Amen. 164.
Praise him, praise him.
John chapter 5. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know we love the children of God, for we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There are three that bear witness in earth, Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. You see, the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. This is the witness of God which he hath testified of the Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record God gave of the Son. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, and believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. And do not say that ye shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. We are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, the eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.
Some good verses there, verses that I have used many times going around the doors. Number 13 is perhaps one of the best. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. And some very, if you're ever looking at a Bible that's not the King James Bible, one of the signs that that Bible hates the Trinity is verses 6 and 7 in 1 John chapter 5. One or other of them is missing. Like the fillet of the fish and join the two bits together again. They don't like the Trinity. But yeah, I appreciate the Bible reading. Amen. Just want to remind you all as well, we have a pumpkin orange, is that it? Pumpkin pie flavoured prayer list this morning, so please do take a wee look at them. If you have any, if anybody has any prayer requests or anything they would like to add to that, please let me know. Make sure that I write it down or that Monica writes it down, because remember the old saying, if it wasn't written down, it never happened. Yes, sir.
I asked one for doctor's appointments for kidneys on Monday, for Wednesday, sir.
At your Fiona. Kidneys and bones.
Yeah.
Hospital or doctor?
Hospital.
Okay. That's Reggie's wife. Please do pray for Will's auntie. She's got up-and-coming hospital appointments. Amen. For her kidneys and for her bones. I take it that's for arthritis or something along that line. Please do continue to pray for Steve. I think he's still coming round a bit from his episode on, was that Sunday? Last Sunday. So please do pray for him. He has ongoing problems with angina and with his heart and a few other things. Please pray for him and Pat both, if you would. And we were glad to have my dad up for a few days, but ask for your continued prayers for him as well. And don't forget, we all have family, and we all have family needing prayers. Colin's granddad just got home there towards the end of this past week. He seems to be coming round a bit, but still, it's still needs prayers as Paddy, and we'll ask if you would pray for him. He needs to get saved, and maybe Colin needs the right words or a wee bit of extra wisdom or Bible reading or a Bible verse or something that'll just cut through that. Just pray that happens. Pray for soft hearts. Can't think of anything else. As you may know, and in accordance with prophecies that you heard in this very pulpit not that very long ago, a new variant has appeared, and the lockdowns will be taking place again quite possibly very, very soon. Any new variant, in quotes, they will still give you the same inoculations for all the other variants as they give you for that variant. So when I say inoculations, that's a polite euphemism for experimental injections. But so there's no reason for any of that, but the government will use that as an excuse to curtail your liberties, your travel and your activities. So please do pray for our government, for our local government, for the English government, governments of all the countries across the world. The leaders of them really do need to be greatly convicted. I am sure in the grand scheme of things, all of the leaders in our governments are being prayed for. And I'm sure they're not that appreciative of it. They're being prayed for continually. Just the Lord, when the Lord puts it upon your heart, just make sure that you do say the words. Call out their names. The Lord knows who they are. There's a lot going on. Don't forget to pray for each other. We appreciate your continued prayers for the work of the church. There's still a lot there's still a fair bit to go. Most of the panels, I think we're down to the last three and a half panels at the end of the church, which means we are about 94%, 95% done. We still have to get those all sealed, and there's still work to be done on the inside, but it looks like things come the end of next week. I'm putting Ron on the spot here. I expect him to have us all organized to get everything done. But Christmas is coming. We'd like to have it sealed. We'd like to have windows in, maybe another window or two on this side, but we appreciate your prayers for good weather. I've never come across at times, what was it, September, October, November, that we have had such reasonable weather. I hesitate to say good, but we have had pretty reasonable weather, and we've been able to forge ahead most days without too much dodging of rain. So your prayers are answered, and we have been able to get work done, as you can see. Now, I know this room is a little bit dark, and we've gone as far as we can go. I think with the lights, they're all 150-watt LEDs, so they're throwing out as much light as we can get, but it's hard to beat daylight, and we're looking forward to getting that done. Prayers appreciated. Please keep them coming, and don't forget the rest of the folks in there. It's going to be a crazy time for by these other variants, but Christmas is coming, and you know what that means? It's the season for people to run out and buy stuff and give stuff and eat stuff and forget about the real reason for it. So let's remember that the reason that we celebrate this time of year is because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even if it's a Christianized pagan festival, it's the time that we have set aside to think on the Lord. So, yeah, anyway, I think that's about that. Anything else? I get to ramble for another 30 minutes or 40 minutes later on. So is there anything else anybody needs to say?
No.
Okay, let's pray. And then we'll sing another song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the liberty to come into your presence. And I pray, you, Lord, please, that you would look into our hearts. And Lord, that you would forgive us for the sins that we are prepared to reveal to you, to speak to you about. Lord, that you would help us to understand that we can talk to you about everything. There is literally nothing that goes on in our lives or flits through our heads that we can't speak to you about. And let us remember this, Lord, that all these things we need to reveal to you and ask for your help with, and accept your help with, Lord, and do things your way. Please work in the hearts and minds of each one of us. Please be with our absent brethren. Please be, Lord, greatly convicting and drawing back those that have slipped and slid and strayed, Lord. And Father, we pray, Father, for the private prayer requests of our hearts. And I know, Lord, we have a lot in our minds. As the days get darker and darker, and I pray, Lord, that you would grant our private prayer requests according to your will. For those that are sick, for those that are downcast, for those that are having difficult times, Lord, persecution even, I pray, Lord, for strength and an uplifting and a healing for it. Now we pray too, Father, for the rest of the service, and that you would bless it, that you would educate us, that you would help us, Lord, to be joyful as we lift up our praises, to make a joyful noise. Father, we just love you and thank you for all that you have done for us. And the fact that we're all sitting here, Lord, means that you love us and you've forgiven us many, many times. Father, please be one of our number. Please walk up and down the hall. Please put your hand upon each one of us and work with us, Lord, and help us. Please bless Israel and protect it. Please hinder all those countries that hate her. Please bless all those that love her. And Father, I pray for world leaders and citizens of their countries, Lord, for many, many souls to be saved before it's ever too late. We love you and thank you. We pray all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. We are in the big hymn book again, if you would like to take a turn there. 215. Somebody picked that, didn't they? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. If you're able, let's stand. 215.
Thank you.
Isaiah 62. We're in the Old Testament. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Isaiah chapter 62. Middle of the Bible, and start working your way to the right. You will find out where we are. Isaiah chapter 62. Excuse me one moment. Glad you could all be here this morning. Again, please do remember those that can't be. We're having a wee supper on the evening of the 15th. That's Wednesday evening. And it's not a Christmas dinner. We're having a supper, a bit of fellowship. It'll be the first get-together or gathering the church has had in about, since the last Christmas dinner that we had here 2 years ago. And that was just before I went for a fortnight's holiday in the USA. That is upstairs in Armageddon. If only it had been a fortnight's holiday in the USA, but that wasn't to be. So please do put that in your diaries, and please leave that to one side. Invite a friend, by all means. We're more than happy to have anybody join us that wants to be here. We'll have a short service, and I'm not going to say we'll make the food the focus of the service, but we will make time to have a cup of tea and some, who knows what we'll have. I think Monica's putting up a list of stuff, and I am sure there will be something to pique your interest and to satisfy your appetite. So please do come along. That's 2 weeks on this Wednesday coming. Wednesday the 15th. Amen. Right, Isaiah 53, there's only a dozen verses in this little chapter. We're going to read them all, and we're going to spend a little bit of time on the subject of a job for the boys and the girls. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. For thou shalt be no more termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall my sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night, Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and thy sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for which thou hast laboured. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway and gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we will continue. Will, would you lead us, please, a few words?
Dear Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for bringing safety and security to your church today, Lord. Grow up in all the blessings, name of the head is covered. The present, Lord, each and every family that represents the Lord, bless us and keep us, Lord. For fast and proud, with better, Lord, pray for him, keep himself safe. Mr. Arthur as well, Lord, but Frankie's over in London, Lord, for any trouble, Lord. We are from the keep him safe and well, Lord, and drunk personally, Lord. We're shouted that she's working, Lord, keep her safe and well, Lord, and bless her and bring her to just at the point in time as well, Lord. We're Stephen, Carl, and John, save their souls, Lord, and bring them to church as soon as possible, Lord, save their souls, Lord. Make them aware of their eternal destination if they do not accept Christ as their own personal Savior, Lord. With Taylor and Christy, Lord, as over in the States, deliver from any trouble, Lord, helping their paperwork, Lord, deliver from any trouble, Lord, and bless them and keep them and provide for them as well, Lord. For Esther and their health condition, Lord, heal her from her infirmities, Lord, and deliver from any trouble, Lord, and pray for her and bless her, Lord, and pray for her and keep her well, safe. For Pat and Steve, Lord, help them with their diabetes, both their diabetes, Lord. We also pray for Steve and his vagina, Lord, and his heart and his all the conditions, Lord. They may heal them, Lord, and Lord, bring them to church, Lord, and bless them and keep them, Lord. And that serious prayers, Lord, and pray for many trouble as well, Lord. And pray for anybody that I've forgotten, Lord, and pray for them also, Lord. Lord, provide for us this day, Lord. Pray for Mark has come to deliver the gospel, Lord, and preach the word, Lord. Touch us, to reach out to us, Lord, and Lord, draw us close to thee. And pray for us to give us strength for all of your wrath and blessings, Lord. Provide for us and our families, for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Amen. I'd like to draw your attention back to the start of this little portion of God's Word. Verse number 6 is going to be our text for this morning. And a little bit of verse number 7, where the Word of God says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. But before we get there, there are some quite interesting verses before and after that, and I would like to spend just a moment on them. As we started our reading this morning, we have this statement by Isaiah, where it says, for Zion's sake I will not hold my peace. In other words, a man that loves his country, not the people in it for the things that they are or for what they can do for him, but he loves the souls. He loves his country, the promised land, because it's God's promised land. It's what God gave to him. And these people are God's people. And he says, I'm not going to stop. I am going to keep going, and I'm going to keep going until people can see the difference that God makes in the land, until their righteousness goeth forth as brightness and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. So people can see, honestly, the difference that God makes in people in general, and in this case, the salvation that he offers. And Isaiah says he's not going to stop. He goes on to say that the whole world will see it, and they'll not be cursed anymore, because let's be honest, The Jews are not exactly loved by the world, the flesh, and the devil. They are hated. And they're hated because, on a global scale, because they remind countries that have forsaken God that there is a God, especially of late as Israel was restored in the grand old, I would say, in the timing of history, just a moment or two ago, and yet it was 70 years ago for us. It goes on to say that it'll be different. Verse number 4 tells us the old names, but it also tells us the new names. The new names that people will refer to it as, because God will delight in them. Now, it's not talking about now, because Israel is as wicked a nation as any other nation right now. But even so, God has his hand upon them for its restoration, for its preservation, and even right up until the end of the tribulation and beyond, until eternity, God will make sure that there is always an Israel. Regardless of and the Bible does say, the great tribulation, the great trouble, and the awful persecution that's going to come upon her, she will exist. And there will come a time when people will make pilgrimages to Jerusalem. Those that are saved will be able to see the Lord there, and those that aren't won't, but people are going to have to bow the knee. In the thousand-year reign of the Lord, they're going to have to admit that God is God, and even if they go home and curse him, someday they will bow the knee in eternity and with a whole heart admit that God loved me, that I rejected all of his overtures, and that he is God Almighty. Anyway, it talks about a time that is just about happening now, but will for sure happen in the thousand-year reign, that the people of Israel will enjoy the land. Up until very recently, and even now, we know that Israel has a lot of persecution. There are regular, and I think daily, attacks from other countries by way of missiles and one thing and another. And they're not really getting peace. But there will come a time when they will have peace. All throughout the history of even of the Old Testament, it talks about Israel being constantly persecuted and at war. And as we were reading in the book of Esther, and Nehemiah and Ezra, the whole land was desolate. And all the things that they had done to make it good in the day, the wells dug, the fields sowed, and so on and so forth, somebody else had the benefit of them. But the time is now, and it's coming, that it will be the people that live there, God's people, that will plant their fields, will eat the crops thereof, will plant their wines, and will drink the wine thereof. It will not be other people coming to take it away from them. Now, the Word of God goes on to say, and we're skipping over verses 6 and 7, and verses number 10, 11, and 12. There's just a little bit of prophecy. You see the way it says, to prepare you the way of the people. That's talking about John the Baptist, and then verses 11 and 12 about the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist came to make straight his paths, to make it, I'm not saying easy, but understandable for the people to get saved. Prepare you the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. That's what John the Baptist came to be. The friend of the bridegroom, the herald of God Almighty. And then the last couple of verses, the reason that we're here, what is it they say? It says in verse 11, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, not just the daughter of Zion, but for right then, behold, thy salvation cometh. His reward is with him, and his work before him. Talking of Jesus riding into Jerusalem, bringing salvation to all men, but his greatest labor was just around the corner whenever he was put on the cross. Not for anything that he had done, but because of the jealousy of the scribes and the Pharisees. And the greatest work that any anyone has ever done for anyone was done by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He gave his life for ours. He gave his righteousness to pay for our sins so we could have his righteousness. And that was all in front of him. And that's the reason why we're here today. Because Jesus gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And we allowed him, we accepted him, we answered the call that he sent out to us to accept him as Savior. Now, the title is A Job for the Boys and the Girls. And I know that has some not so pleasant connotations. It speaks of people getting advantage because of who they are or because of which school they went to. And we know that takes place in England, and a lot of the people in government right now shouldn't be left in charge of a couple of cats. But they're in government because they know somebody. Not because they're good at their job, but simply because they know somebody. And that is called A Job for the Boys. We know that it happened in Northern Ireland in the last 100 years, give or take, because you were a Protestant, you got a job. If you were in the north here, you'd get the job. And if you were down south, if you were a Catholic, you would have gotten the job. It was a job for the boys or a job for the girls. If your face didn't fit, you didn't get the job. Now, I'm sure you know, and I'm thankful for that, that is not the case in Bible-believing Christianity. Well, almost not the case. It's not up to other people to determine whether your face fits or not. It's a realization that people have that their face doesn't fit. The things that the world says, look, these are the things that you need to do to make your work, your life worthwhile. I.e., I've used this example before, it's one that sticks with me. I was late for a dinner or a tea break one day, and I ended up in the canteen, I think, with half of the accounts office. And that was it. You're talking about 6 or 7 ladies. And I sat down because I didn't want to be antisocial, well, not any more than usual. And I sat down with them, and I said to them, well, ladies, how are you? And of course, you know what ladies are like. Oh, what's Mark been up to? And they asked me what I'd been up to, and I said, this is what I was doing all weekend. The church, Friday night Bible study, Saturday out tracking, and services on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And he says, would you never go out? He says, would you not take a wee drink? How are you supposed to enjoy yourself if you don't do those things? And I'm sitting there thinking, how do you enjoy yourself if you squander your money and put your health at risk and who knows what else? How is that supposed to be enjoying yourself and then not even remembering what it was like? I would like to think if I was enjoying myself that I would remember it. And my face didn't fit. My face has very rarely ever fit in the world. I think I've pretty much always marched to the beat of my own drum. But I found out at the tender age of 23 that my face didn't fit in this world. The Lord had convicted me for years. I had started reading the Bible. Some of the, and I tried really hard to forget some of the old forgotten Sunday school lessons would keep bubbling up to the surface and convicting me of my sins, and nothing that I would do would take it away. But I found my face didn't fit in this world anymore, and I chose Christ as my Savior. And you know what? I have found my face does fit. I'm not so worried about this world anymore, but there's a place for me in heaven. A mansion for me in heaven, a glorified body waiting for me when I get to heaven. A loving Father that's seated in heaven, but his ears still reach to the ground, and a brother that intercedes for me in heaven, and a Holy Spirit that works with me and for me, and sometimes has to work against me whenever we get our big heads on us here on earth. My face fits at long time. I have found a place where my thinking, where my eternity, where my foundation fits in that
course, is in heaven. There's always a couple of verses that are well worth remembering. I don't remember these from whenever I got saved, but since I have been saved, I found them to be very apt. And they're in Matthew chapter 11. You know the verses? I think they're up on the back wall there. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And people love that verse. We do, don't we? That's a promise from God. So the next one we're not so keen on. He says, take my yoke upon you. What? What do you mean this Christian life's not all free? No, the eternal life is free. The Christian life takes a bit of elbow grease, takes a few of those neurons firing, and sometimes it even costs you a bit of money. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Oh no, there's the pastor going on about learning Bible verses again. But I want for you to understand. The Lord said, I am meek and lowly in heart. I am not come to conquer you. But when you do things my way, when you do this, you will find rest unto your soul. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We don't like that. The old man does not like that one little bit. The old man wants to come home and sit in front of the TV and eat and drink his beers and gossip and do whatever. The new man, however, has a job. Noble purpose. Sadly, many of us are not that fussed on what God wants for our lives. We don't want to be thought of, or we don't like the thought of standing out from the crowd. Being pointed at. Being called a holy Jew. Or a Bible thumper. Or a Moses. Or a Jehovah's Witness. Or a Mormon. Or any one of those people that are traditionally associated with knocking on doors. Did you and Charlotte get... Are you Paisley's crowd? Are you holy Jews? Are you Bible thumpers?
Nothing like that. No, we went to a very civilized neighborhood.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. A lot of people don't want that. But I remember people up at Craigan, just below the chapel, shouting, oh, you're holy Jews. I would shout, thank you. Because that's what I'm doing. You're Bible thumpers. Amen. The things that people think to insult you with for the Christian are actually compliments. However, sometimes we don't like the thought of being the ones that actually have to carry that. I'm going to tell you now, it's a great thrill and a challenge. And there's an incredible sense of satisfaction and completion in doing what God asks you to do. It is out of the ordinary, and it is different to what everybody else does for a good time in this world. But it is what God wants us to do, and sometimes it's like catching that dog, that Doberman, by the collar and making him walk after you, even if you have to drag him, and him wanting to run the other way the whole time. And whenever you do it, notice I said, when you do it, you have obeyed the Lord. You have depended upon the Lord to help you do it. You have given the gospel to somebody else, and you can go home, and you might be a bit cold, and you might be a bit wet, but you serve the Lord. And we're not servants that have to walk around all hunched-shouldered. We can proudly serve the Lord, and I mean that in its proper context. Glad to serve the Lord. Glad to be inconvenienced. But it's actually good for our souls. And let me tell you something else. Depending on whether you're a bit vindictive or whether you remember grudges, if you want to put it like that, up until the point that you got saved, the world, the flesh, and the devil had you. And they had you working for them. And they took the widest hand out of you and didn't care whether the drink killed you, or the drugs killed you, or waking up in a stranger's bed killed you, he didn't care. Whether you took your drink and hopped in a car, the world, the flesh, and the devil didn't give one monkeys. In fact, they would have been glad for you to die, because then they would have had you in hell and afterwards the lake of fire. So even on a point of getting one back at the world, the flesh, and the devil, you ought, at least once or twice in your life, take a moment to tell people the gospel. The world, the flesh, and the devil hates it, and the old man hates it. But there is a part of us that was made for it. We were made to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. Just like Adam and Eve, we were made for that. And the only reason we feel uncomfortable about doing it now is because so much of our lives is tangled up in the world. And I'm not saying that in a bad thing. So much of everybody's lives is tangled up in the world. Sometimes people think, oh, I'm not fit to tell people the gospel. I have been a bad boy. I have done X, Y, and Z. I've lied, I've cheated, I've stole, I've killed, I've committed adultery, I'm an idolater. I've rebelled against my parents, I've taken the Lord's name in vain, I have a profane mouth. All of those things, they do not disqualify you. All they do is mark you as a sinner. It is Christ's salvation that qualifies you. As soon as you get up from your hands and knees at the foot of the cross, having confessed your sins, having repented of them, and having called upon Christ and Him alone as your Saviour, you're fully qualified to tell people they need to get saved. So what if they ask you about Moses? And you can say, I don't know Moses. I don't know about him. What about Noah? I don't know about Noah. What about, what do you call that fella? Hephzibah? Was that his name? I can't even, yep, what about Hephzibah? Says, I don't know about Hephzibah, but one thing I do know. Once I was lost, and now I am found. And it was Jesus that did it all. It was Him that hung on the cross and said, it's finished. That's all you need. That is your qualification. You don't get a certificate to put in the wall, but if you want one, I can print one for you. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is your qualification. That is your call. Some people, they just don't want to do anything. And you think that's the job, my job. I want to tell you something, friends. For the past 2 years, my job has been woefully undersubscribed to. For the whole of 2020, I was literally a basket case. It was as much as I could do. I had two funerals to do after I came out of hospital, and they put me on my back for days. My first service that I preached wore me out for the following day. We did get back to going around the doors, but since the work has started on the church, there's been no outreach by this church except for the people that come across and we get to speak to. But it's not just my job, because you will meet people that I will never meet. And their eternities are dependent upon you, not me. The words that I say, maybe, yes, you can carry the scriptures that are read here. Yes, you can carry to them, but it's dependent upon you. Torrey or Moody or Carey or Judson or any of the old preachers, not certainly not Paisley and not me. It's you. Some of the younger people think, oh, that's definitely a job for the older, more experienced Christians. And the older, more experienced Christians are thinking, that's a job for the young people. They've got the stamina and their joints are good, and they're the ones that can tramp around the doors and putting the leaflets out. Some think they're not articulate enough. And I came across an amazing verse. There was a very famous man who almost refused to preach, to bring the word of God. And God's reply to him is in Exodus chapter 4. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. He knew that was a lie. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? And this is what God said to Moses. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Isn't that powerful? Now I know there's going to be people listening to this that are saying, yes, but that was Moses. And God spoke to Moses face to face like a friend, and he promised to do the same to Joshua. I want to tell you what Jesus said to those that trust him. He said, when you're delivered up, take no thought how or what you shall say, for in that same hour it will be given you what ye shall say, and it'll not be you that speaks, it'll be the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. God's promise to those that love him and trust him has always been, I don't need your ability, I only need your availability. I will fill in all the missing pieces. Now, there's a reason many people don't evangelize. And I'm not saying, look, you have to carry a Bible the size of one of the old yellow pages and you have to beat people up the head with it. I'm telling you, these are some of the reasons why people don't. Personal reasons. Fear. We're afraid to go. We have listened to the world, the flesh, and the devil so much, and we give more credence to what popular opinion is than what the Bible says, we are quite literally afraid. I know this for a fact. I have mentioned this before. It's important to me, and it's well worth remembering it. I'm remembering it still, and I keep leaning upon the example of listening to the radio in the morning whenever I was lying in bed. We used to listen to Radio Foyle. And they would be telling me of, and it just so happened, it was always the places that we were planning to go and visit, of cars being burned and riots and things going on. And I said, Lord, that's making me a bit afraid. And I said, Lord, what should I do about that? Should I cancel the outreach tonight? No, the Lord said, no, just don't listen to the radio anymore. And so I didn't. I turned it to beep, and then the radio would beep in the morning, and I would get up. And I would execute the plans to go out and do the tracking. Sometimes we are afraid. Remember what it says in 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if you're any way contrary like me, when you feel afraid, especially when it comes to speaking about the Lord, do it anyway. That's the devil trying to stop you, and here's a battle to be fought and won. You know the way we used to do things when we were little? Don't take those bonds. And you look around and no one's there, and you take a bond. Isn't that the way we work? Well, be contrary, but only this time be contrary with the devil. He's been taking the wildest hand out of you. Now is not the time to listen to him. He hates your guts. Sometimes another reason for us not doing what we should be doing is we haven't spent enough time in God's presence and we're just not strong enough. We're afraid still. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, if you want delivered from that situation, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because why? It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. If you want delivered from that, trust in the scriptures. And they're not something that reaches back thousands of years. They actually reach from thousands of years ago right up to today. And we ought to listen to them. And we ought to incorporate them into our minds and our hearts. And all you have to do, like for instance, I like verses 6. It says, I have set a watchman upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. I like that verse. I'm going to remember it for a while. Because that's my call. Years ago, before I started into church, I used to hate PC World. Because they charged people like 20 quid, and this is like 30 years ago, for putting a stick of memory into a computer that takes like 3 minutes. And I hated people being taken advantage of. And that's the way I feel today about Christians, about people in my hometown now of Derry. They're taking the wildest hand out of the people here. And that's what takes me out around the doors. And that's what takes me out into the street corners. And that's what takes me to Argos to buy batteries for my megaphone. It's I hate people being taken advantage of. We need to spend time in prayer. And I don't mean, Lord, well, not Barry McGuigan prayers. Remember Barry McGuigan? I'd like to thank my manager and my mummy and daddy and the guy that trained me for bringing me to where I am now. It's not like that. Look, Heavenly Father, would you bless my mummy and my daddy and my brothers and my sisters and the folks in the church and my cat and my dog and bless the food I'm about to eat and if I'm about to put my head down and if I die, would you take me home tonight? It's not a Barry McGuigan prayer. It's an honest to God conversation that we need to have with the Lord. And we need to be saying, look, Lord, I have problems with Mark. He keeps saying these things and he rabbits on about reading the Bible. And I can do that. But then he starts rabbiting on about memorizing the Bible. And he shouldn't be telling me that. Have that conversation with God and see how it goes for you. I'm going to tell you, it'll be Psalm, 119, verse 11, where it says, thy word have I hid in thy heart. God will be saying, so are you wanting an excuse to sin against me? Is that what you're wanting to do? Because I have impressed it upon Mark to tell to you to hide those scriptures in your heart so that they become a part of you and steer you away from sin and proof you against sin and help you overcome sin. And so on and so forth. Have a conversation with God. God, really, honestly, should I be doing that, God? Should I be out of church? Should I be tithing? Should I be lifting a handful of tracts and leading them wherever I go? And God will probably say yes to all of them. Spend time in prayer. The only reason a lot of folks that sit in churches, that's as active as they get in their, in quotes, Christian lives, is they're not even saved. There's a lot of folks sitting in churches don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior because the guy standing behind the pulpit refuses to tell them that's what they need to get into heaven. And I think it's a little bit like saying, like, there's 100 million people interested in football, but there's only ever 20,000 turns up at a match. Those are the diehards. And that's what we need. The Lord has a solution. Not a solution. Do you have a solution for an excuse? Is that right? But you know what I mean. But most of it, all of it comes down to, and you should do this for the crack. Lord, what do you want me to do? And wait a minute. Don't be in a rush. Lord, that's like running out the door and saying to your mum or your dad or your wife or your husband, what do you want me to do as you run out the door and the door opens and you're gone? And as the door shuts and you're away down the road, you can hear something faintly in the background. But you think that's enough an excuse so that you don't have to do anything about it? I used to do it as a child. On a Sunday morning, on a good day, when I knew we were going to church, I would be away out to, in quotes, play. And I would be away down the street, knowing full well not having a watch, because it would be carefully left at home too, that whenever my dad stood at the gate and called my name, that I couldn't hear his voice, and I wouldn't have to go to church. We still do that. I hate the church. Isn't that ironic? Just need to do what God asks us to do. I have experiences that will never leave me because I just did what God asked me to do. And not only will they never leave me, they enable me to go on to greater experiences. When you can walk up to a stranger and just say, "How you doing? There's a wee gospel tract for you." The next time you'll say, "How you doing? How is your soul today?" And you can go on and on. Or you can go to a complete and utter stranger in a shop and say, "Look, I don't know what it is, but the Lord's really put that upon my heart to give you that wee gospel tract. Is everything okay?" And we're not out to conquer people. We're out to see them saved. And people don't get that. When you talk to a guy that's about that tall and that wide and looks like he would kill you as quick as look at you, and you have one of the most precious times in your witnessing history. This, I've shared this with you before, and we even mentioned him recently. He was called the Gentle Giant, and he had gotten Satan's illegitimate children tattooed across his forehead one day whenever he was drunk. And unfortunately, tattoos are one of those things you don't just wipe off with a bit of bleach or a Brillo pad. And the Lord said, "Tell him the gospel." And I said, "You must be joking." He said, "Tell him the gospel." And I argued with the Lord for a minute or two. And then he turned down a street just opposite the Floyd side. And I thought, well, Lord, looks like I'll never see him again, but if I do, I'll tell him the gospel. And he must have run 100 yards down, 100 yards across, and 100 yards up, because as I sauntered up, he just came out of a street in front of me again. And I thought, my Lord said, "You were saying?" And I went to walk on, and the Lord said, "You said." And I said, "You know what, Lord, you're right." And I took a couple of wee check tracks, and I went up to him and said, "Excuse me, sir." And he said, "Yes, ma'am." Very nicely, very well-mannered, I said, "The Lord has really put it upon my heart to give that to you, those wee gospel tracts to you." He said, "I'm just not interested." I said, "You might not be, but I'm just going to leave a couple there for you and your mate, the newspaper seller, and I've discharged my duty." And that was cool, because it shows you can do it. All that it takes is a little bit of trust in God, and just ignoring what the world, the flesh, and the devil is going to say. I want you to remember this. I know we've heard many times that the Bible is God's love letter to the world. I would disagree with that. It's God's love letter to each and every person individually in the world. Just like Jesus came to give his life on the cross so that the whole world could go to heaven, that's a lie. It's a damnable lie. Jesus gave his life on the cross so that each person in the world could go to heaven. There is nobody getting into heaven on the coattails of anybody else except Jesus Christ. Friends, goodness. I want to tell you the recipe for a full life and joy in your heart and a peaceful night's rest. And it's not a bank full of money or a house full of stuff. It's a great purpose. That's what it is, a great purpose. A job for any boy or a job for any girl. And I have come across many people over the years. It's hard to believe, but I'm 56 years old, and I have come across a lot of people, and the surest way But killing someone is to take away their purpose in life. Without that, they're just like an empty sweet packet, an empty crisp packet. There's nothing left for them. Just sit and they just fade away. A purpose will get you up out of bed every day, will wash your face and shower you and press your clothes and make your bed and add an inch to your step and a smile to your face. It'll raise your heart rate and it'll fire up the neurons in your brain. And it'll keep your mind and body occupied throughout the day. And when you get to the end of it, and it comes very quickly, you will have a sense of accomplishment that'll give you a sweetness of the food and of the rest that you will have that night. And it'll get you up again the next day. That's just an ordinary purpose. But you think of the one that the Lord lays at our feet. We're not doing him a favor. He's doing us a favor. He wants you to have peace in your heart that the world can't give. And that only comes from doing his job. Remember what he said his job was whenever he was on this world? He said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. And what did he say to us whenever he went up to heaven? Go ye forth into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He gave us his job. How cool is that? And that was enough to take the Lord God Almighty from the throne room of heaven and bring him down to this world. Surely it can take us to a neighbor's house or even a stranger's house and bend their ear a bit about Jesus. That is the single best job and the most noble of purposes, and that should motivate any saved soul. Amen. I'm stopping there. Thank you for your good time and your attention. Right, we don't have a hard song to close with, but we have a song to close with. Just want to make sure it's the right song we're closing with. Was it 331? Did somebody pick 331 this morning? Somebody pick a song that we haven't got around to sing.
248.
Was it 248?
No, I just said that.
did anybody pick a song that they haven't sung?
No.
248 it is. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for pulling me out, brother. Now I belong to Jesus. Amen. Let's stand to sing. 248 in the big verse.
Thank you.
you all for a good time. God bless you. Safe journeys home. Enjoy your lunch. Look forward to seeing you at the next appointment. Let's fire ahead. So we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Please use it, Lord, to work in our hearts and minds. We love you and thank you. Look after and save those that we know and love that don't yet know and love you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, according to your will. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a bit.
See where the heat is.
What's the temperature up there, Will?
It's around about 51 Fahrenheit.
You sure?
Sorry,
61.
61, 62.
Cool. So it did come up right.